You might have thought it would never happen, but Switchcast is endorsing a transport company. Whether you're moving a rare collectible, a high-end sports car, or your personal luxury vehicle, Shaughnessy Overland Express delivers with precision, privacy, and respect. This isn't just transport, it's white glove care from pickup to delivery. For over 14 years, they've earned the trust of collectors, enthusiasts, dealers, and owners by offering unmatched service and personalized attention. You'll work directly with their experienced in-house team, ensuring a smooth and private experience without middlemen or surprises. Every shipment is protected with up to $3 million in cargo insurance, offering peace of mind for even the most valuable and rare vehicles on the road. In addition to their enclosed fleet, they've also established a trusted auto transport brokerage service, giving you access to a nationwide network of vetted open and enclosed carriers. Whether you need transport on a route they don't currently operate or their carriers are at full capacity when your schedule demands, they'll still get it done without compromising the Shaughnessy standard of excellence. Same professionalism, same personal touch, expanded flexibility. We are proud at Switchcast to endorse Shaughnessy Overland Express as the official transporter of Switchcast. Visit soexinc.com and tell them Switchcast sent you. Welcome to Switchcast Season 6. I feel like anybody listening knows what they're listening to, but yes, I am your host, Doug Tabbitt, here with my co-host, Tyler Sanders, and our
Hello.
International executive producer, Ethan Huffnagel. Oh, speaking of international, we get a lot of fun, ridiculous comments on our videos, and I love engaging with them.
I still love the "Where's Tyler" comment. Or sorry. Who's Tyler? Who's Tyler was great.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that guy?
Making fun of your beard experiment and my preemie face and all sorts of stuff like that. Premium, not short for premium. I'd like to think it is, but we got a very nice message from international listener about the plate to sample game, which everybody loves.
Yes. We love
Charbel,
doing it.
Charbel, thanks so much for featuring my plate in yesterday's upload on YouTube. It made my day. I was so excited that I ran to my wife and was like, they picked my plate.
Well, I feel like I have so much more power now when picking these plates. I love it.
Ah, yes. It was the Gold Digger plate from Melbourne, Australia.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, now I'm embarrassed because I didn't know where that was from. I was like, where is this plate from? I don't know. Because I think it said NS. I think it was like a New South Wales plate or something. Yeah. And I had brain farted.
Switchcast is a podcast that we know what we're talking about. Freudian slip.
Do we, Doug? We know what we're talking about.
We know what we're talking about. I'm going to read the teleprompt here. Despite evidence to the contrary, which
much I mean, evidence.
Right there. We've only drank water so far. Maybe that is the problem. We try to avoid politics at all costs here, unless it's related to cars. We try to avoid religion unless it's related to cars. Pretty much anything controversial unless it's related to cars. But almost, yeah, we can find a way to tangentially apply those things.
Yes.
But anyway, somebody who doesn't try to avoid politics, back to our original discussion, yes, is Casey Putch, former car guy turned politician, not to be confused with Bobby Kahn, former car con turned wannabe politician. Casey Putch has kind of abandoned the automotive sphere and gone full political right wing extremist. White hat, is white hat a term for some? I don't know. I feel like that's the thing I want to call him, but I don't even know what that refers to. Anyway, tinfoil hat, maybe. What's a white hat?
I've never heard that. The only thing I can think of a pretty not great connection. But
Right. Computer security.
I don't think you're thinking of the right thing.
An ethical cyber security hacker. Well, boy, is that timely. We're having some technical issues on the live stream. we're going to blame the cyber attack that happened recently on the whole world. It's probably not the issue, but anyway, that we're just going to blame that.
I was so blissfully unaware yesterday morning that anything was happening.
We were on the road the whole time, and we're going to tell you why very soon. In the meantime, if you enjoy this podcast, please help us out with the algorithms. Send it to somebody you know. Share it. Subscribe. Leave a comment. 5-star review. Support our sponsors. We appreciate all of that. You can also sign up for Patreon, and you can get exclusive bonus content on there. What is fueling this podcast, Tyler?
Ooh,
and why?
So we've got some Bardstown Discovery Series number 3. So they're on like number 13 now. And I think this was released in like 2020. So I've got...
It's a vintage bottle.
It's relatively vintage. It's one of my favorite whiskeys. It's like the first whiskey I had that was fancy, and it kind of changed my life. So I've been waiting for a very meaningful time to open this and...
We're going to unmask it.
Yes.
Because it's from 2020. Ah.
That was good.
Yes. Right on, Mike. So the reason we are... opening up this special bottle of Bardstown is to celebrate Tyler's acquisition of his dream car.
Woo!
And one that was pushed along, encouraged by his friends as a result of this decide painter get off the ladder challenge that we set up for ourselves, that we have to stop talking about buying our dream cars and just go do it. So yesterday, Tyler consummated a purchase on a white 996 GT3. So pour me some of this Bardstown, eh?
Let's go.
So would this be sacrilege to use it for a Manhattan?
I wouldn't.
Ethan?
You?
Ethan would do it?
I would do it.
As long as you put it with some good vermouth. Ethan, you want to get in here?
I think it's bad to mix good whiskey, but... Manhattans, I think, get better with better whiskey.
Well, and so that's the thing about a whiskey cocktail can benefit from very good whiskey is as long as the whiskey is like a critical component. Mm-hmm. But even then, a whiskey that is so good, I would rather just drink on its own. You know, I'm not that much of a cocktail guy. I love cocktails, but like I don't want to use up all my good whiskey mixing it with other stuff.
Just some. So I'm a big fan of putting expensive tequila in a homemade margarita with fresh squeezed lime juice because it takes it to another level.
Well, cheers, boys. I am happy to crack this bottle after like 5 years drinking it with y'all.
Cheers. Cheers. No, you didn't. After all your struggles with the live stream, you didn't.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, warm up lap here. because, of course, when you go out on track, you need to warm up your tires so you don't wreck it into the first corner. And that is what we do. We start a little bit slow on this podcast, but boy, do we get cooking after the warm up lap. I learned something this week. Elaine from Seinfeld is part of the Ferrari dynasty.
Like Elaine the character or Julie Louis-Dreyfus, the actress?
The actress.
Okay.
I was reading a book on the history of Ferrari, and the name Pierre Louis-Dreyfus came up as one of the two main investors with Enzo Ferrari into his business back in the late 1940s. And I was like, oh, gee, well, that's not very common compound last name.
Yeah.
So I looked it up, and sure enough, she is the granddaughter of Pierre Louis Dreyfus.
Do you think that means she gets some access that other people wouldn't to like special cars? I don't think she's into cars. Maybe. I don't actually know. It's not something that she publicly does that I've come across, but she's got to be able to pull that if she really wanted to. Like, hey.
My grandfather put money in. She may have stock in it still. I mean, her family. I really don't know, but I thought that was a cool, interesting connection. Speaking of Europe, the ultimate BMW M collection recently sold at RM Sotheby's in Munich. And boy, what a collection it was. They had a BMW Z8, unfortunately, an Alpina, which is the worst motor
automatic
and worst transmission. BMW M1,
nice.
An M4 GTS, a 2002 turbo, the model, not the year, M3 GTS, serial number 001.
Whoa.
And on and on. It was Porsche collectors with garages full of 911s, move over. This collection was barreling down the fast lane. This is the era where BMW was the ultimate driving machine.
Yes.
And it was just, it was awesome cars. The only thing missing, in my opinion, from that collection, there's probably a lot of things that BMW nerds could say, well, they should have had this and should have had that, but they didn't have a 507.
Those are gorgeous.
How do you have a Z8 and not a 507 in this incredible vertical of BMW M cars? Big hole.
Remember
that
blue
lineup.
507 we saw at Audrain a couple of years ago?
Mm.
Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, as much as I love Porsche, they are my favorite manufacturer. Their cars are what I desire, obviously. When you collect 911s, they're all the same formula. I think it is a brilliant formula. The engine is where God intended it, hanging over the rear axle. It's amazing. But with the BMW, you kind of get a little bit more variation. Don't worry about it. The engine belongs in the back.
Is that where God intended
100%. It's the most fun back there. I will not be hearing any arguments. Maybe in the middle is where, but rear is the best.
I feel like that's like Mormons saying that America is God's Zion.
Oh.
It's equivalent.
Oh
man. Speaking of controversial topics, I got a suggestion on Facebook for this event, and it was an LGBTQ+ track day.
Oh,
which I guess this has been a group that's been around for a while, but it's the first time it was suggested to me. I don't know what the algorithms found in my life that felt that I needed that. But anyway, the concept itself was odd to me, as I've never been to a track day or automotive event or heard of one that was based on a different value system other than cars or a set of religious beliefs or race. Well, I guess we do go to a racetrack. It's all about racing. Yeah. But, I don't know. You don't have, like, Trumpers tracking or liberals lapping. It's this odd Venn diagram overlap. You know, flat earth, flat out. Comic-Con, cars and coffee. Alfalfa farmers with alphas. Furries with Ferraris.
Ooh, that's good.
It'd be a Ferrari.
Yeah, I like it.
Jesus jukers.
Well, what I think
they could have Nissan Jukes, and then they would turn everything to a serious religious conversation. You got Jesus juked.
What is interesting to me, and I've never heard of this specific group getting together before, and you know, I would hope that track days were not something that were discriminatory. I guess.
You want more gatekeeping in automotive
community. There's a, okay, Doug.
That's the cars.
I don't want people to not be able to enjoy themselves. So I think it's kind of, more power to them, but I was kind of surprised that a track day would have been something where there was some level of whatever you want to call it, discrimination or unwelcome feelings that
led to this being needed.
I've never
seen it, but well, it's never even come up. It's what's your driving experience?
Yeah.
We just go to a track day and it's a track day. But I am surprised, though, that they went to a road course and not a drag strip. You know why, though, right?
Why is that, Doug? Why is that?
They're all so gay, they can't even drive straight.
All right. Shut her down. The Sheffield brand was recently revived by Jake Turkbus, an owner of an original Sheffield all-sport diver he received from his parents in 1970 when he was just 11, beginning his love of watches. As an adult, Jay used his extensive expertise in product development and marketing to revive the brand that started it all. He set out to develop watches with a high level of quality and specification at a value price. His first effort, and a successful one, on July of 2023, was the debut of the Sheffield All-Sport Diver 1. It had the kind of build and movement that much more expensive watches use, and his debut price of $108 was equivalent to the $13 his parents paid in 1970. Since that debut, Sheffield has expanded to a wider range of automatics and chronos, many designed around vintage Sheffield dials of the 60s. The Sheffield well of clever and unique design remains his inspiration, as well as maintaining the goal of high quality, very affordable range of automatic and quartz watches. Sheffield watches, value on merit, not just price. I love mine, so get yours at sheffieldwatches.com and be sure to mention you found them on Switchcast.
Those of you on Patreon, sorry for the technical difficulties again. It's just a week. Again, friggin' cyber attack. Speaking of Patreon, our Patreon topic, fitting because Tyler just acquired his Dream GT3, and we're going to walk through the incredible ins and outs of searching for, locating, PPIing, and purchasing the dream car. But also, our Patreon topic, our bonus episode, is about a GT3 on a salvage auction that got struck by lightning. This is one that I sold, and the customer called me and said, boy, do I have a story for you. And it's now up for salvage auction. So we got to talk about whether or not we might take a swing at it.
Oh,
right.
Ooh. Okay.
Anyway, there's some jokes there too. Bolts. I don't know. Electric vehicle. I don't know. We'll work on those and we'll have them ready for the Patreon topic. Anyway, so Tyler, you recently embarked on probably a 2-year journey.
Yes.
In pursuit of a 996 GT3.
So I had been talking about wanting one for longer than that, but what really, at the beginning of last year, Switch Cars had one in inventory that you let me take on a quick little test drive, so I knew what I was kind of, what I was actually chasing after, and that kind of changed my life.
Yes.
That has been a high that I have been chasing since then.
Did you drive the Tornado GT3? Speaking of lightning strike GT3s, did you drive the Tornado one?
I did not.
Okay.
So that last year, at the beginning of last year, was the first time I had ever driven a 996 GT3. I had driven a 991 like ages ago.
Okay, but that's right. That was a black one, but yes. You couldn't do black.
I couldn't do black.
You wanted it because it was a good car and a good deal.
And it was right here.
You couldn't do it.
And financially, I wasn't really ready. So,
right.
You know, details.
Okay. So let's get into the search. For those of you, because we get emails all the time, can you help me with the search for XYZ? And we usually say no because of how involved any individual search is for a car, especially a dream car, especially somebody as particular as Tyler. So Tyler,
yes.
Tell everybody all the reasons of why we don't help people find cars.
Doug, this was a lot of work. I wish I'd logged how many hours I spent poring over information, searching the same crap on Google, going to the same auction alerts from all these different sites. I have like 15 tabs in this phone constantly in Safari that I would go through each day multiple times, refresh, 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 forums. Like I was going insane.
There are a lot of platforms that you have to keep an eye on. It's actually quite annoying. I feel like we need an MLS for cars.
Just like bring it all together. Yes. This is insane.
We can still use all the third party platforms, but we don't have to be on all their email lists and searching them and getting updates. Continue.
So what I think. So I had a leg up. I will be honest. You know, knowing Doug, you might assume I had a leg up, but I had through Doug and Dan and some other friends, I had
our
access
technical
to
advisor.
I had access to all of the build sheets for all of the North American GT3s.
Oh, gee, that's like cheating.
It is. Big leg up. So what I got to do is I got to kind of attempt to pick and choose, because I was like, ooh, what options do I want? You know, this could be like I'm buying it new.
the imaginatory, I don't know, not real used car factory that every buyer thinks
exactly.
Exists.
And I'm like, okay, like I can really narrow down what I want. This is awesome because this is a monumental purchase and I want to be excited. I don't really want to settle too much.
Because you wanted white, blue, like a non-standard color. No silver, no black, no red.
Yes.
All the most common colors were not options for you.
And even though white is
common. So you got to narrow it down and see what actual options you had, because you also wanted full leather.
Yes.
So then you could say, okay, these 156 VIN numbers are the cars that I'm looking for. Then what?
So then you got to start searching. I have punched so many VIN numbers into Google and DuckDuckGo because they give different results and other search engines.
Epic VIN.
So I paid $100 to Epic VIN for a month and I pulled about over 200 reports from them, but they limit you to 20 a day. So for like 10 days, I'd wake up. Well, let's pull my, 10 or 20 Epic VIN reports for today. What mileage approximately do the cars have? Where are they located? What's the last mileage or service record? Because it's like, is it still on the road? Does it exist? Is there a crash? And you start taking, let's say it's 150 cars and realize there's like maybe 50 out of that are even options.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have gobs of money. I'm not looking for a 5,000 mile car. I also don't want a 150,000 mile car. So there's what seems to be, 10-15% are like things I'd be interested in, goes down into single digit percentages rapidly.
Right. And then you have to find the cars, find the owners. A lot of them are elusive. Let's use that word yes. properly this time. And some of them you just can't find.
So, and I made with the help, some of your help and some other friends, I had contacted, I think about 5 people successfully and got a response, and they were all blue cars. Blue was what I was really hot on for a minute. The Cobalt, Midnight, Lapis, gorgeous. Everybody was like, nah, bro, like not a chance. Or, give me, essentially they wanted a ton of money, 20% over market. And it's not, I don't want a deal. I just wanted to pay a fair price. So
speaking of pricing.
Yes.
What was your struggle there?
The dealers.
Besides being cheap.
Doug, I don't think I've been cheap. So if you look at the 996 GT3 market, the dealerships, all of them have pretty high prices, in my opinion, for the quality of cars that they have in stock. And they sit. If a dealer lists a car, like there was a Polar Silver one listed a few months ago for like $135 at... I don't even remember. Somewhere out in California, that sold immediately, but that was like a fair, that was a good price. It had like 17,000 miles, whatever. But a lot of the dealers are listed at really high prices.
Especially the blue ones.
And yes, rare colors. Oh
okay,
my gosh.
So, but I often tell people, if everybody is asking a certain price and you don't want to pay it, it's not the dealers that are unrealistic, it's you.
Well, Douglas of Switch Cars, all of the auction prices, bring a trailer, cars and bids, even like the in-person auctions, none of the cars went for what dealers were asking. All of them went in the range of what I was thinking was reasonable.
Okay. So you're looking at real transactions and you're frustrated because a lot of dealers are just buying cars up and just moving the price up yes. with no basis. Other than that they're trying to control the market.
And it seemed like there's a couple dealers that would have a bunch of them in stock, all listed at crazy prices. And I'm like, what are you guys trying to do? This is a little weird.
Sure.
So there's some dealing with some of that. And I was really frustrated because I was thinking to myself, the perfect car could come up at a dealership and be immediately out of my price range, even though I genuinely believe it's worth less, 10-ish sure. percent less.
So you found a yellow car that... was like perfect and agreed to buy it. And then the guy just changed his mind. Is that right?
Almost. So I had made a post on Renlist that I should probably take down saying, hey, looking for a driver quality GT3, would like full leather, no silver, black, that kind of stuff that we've talked about. And somebody DM'd me on Renlist and said, hey, I'm thinking about selling my car. Here's some information on it. It was yellow, painted back sport seats, painted center console, full leather. It was hot. And it had it was miled up a bit. It had 86,000 miles, which is higher than I wanted, but within realm of
sure,
reason.
But it was a nice car for the miles.
Nice, definitely well maintained. Like the car was gorgeous. I talked to the guy, and it was like talking to myself. And I was like, "This is the kind of car I want. Maintained by somebody like this, this is going to be great." And so I was figuring out PPI, and I was about to call him like later that day. And about 30 minutes before I was planning to call him because I had some other stuff going on, he shoots me a text and says, hey, I want to wait until the spring. There's stuff I want to do with the car. I'm going to no sale sure. for now.
So then you found another one at a dealer that was priced very well. It was like 90 G's.
Yes.
But
So this was a gray car with a bunch of leather options. Oh my God, Doug, the side vents in the dash were leather. The center console was leather. Oh, it was so good. It was a dark gray, which was classy. Some paint matched wheels, classy. So I started getting a bunch of, again, high miles, but the price reflected that. And I was like, okay, at this price, I'm in. Let's go. So the dealership was fantastic. The sales guy was amazing. I got so many photos, all of my questions answered. And in one of the photos, I noticed what I thought was a like a reservoir for a shock behind the rear taillight. And I was like, hey, I want to Google that. Give me an up-close photo, please, you know, whatever. And it's an external oil pump. And I was like, why do you need that? The engine already has one. It's already dry sump. Like, what is this doing here? And and there was some weird wiring stuff. I noticed some things had been spliced. And I was like, this is too many stories. Too many questions. Don't want to deal with it. I'm out. The guy tried to get me back in. And I was like, this could be $50,000 and I'd probably still walk. Like, I just don't want to deal with it.
You don't know what you don't know. And there's a red flag. I've done this a lot. I've never seen an external oil pump for a Metzger engine. I'm not looking hard enough, or maybe I'm not buying enough tracked out cars, but like you said, it's a dry sump car.
What is this doing here?
Why? And, like, a regular 996? Yeah.
Like, ooh, maybe.
Let's do that.
Oil starvation issues. But like, I Googled so much and couldn't find anybody on like Renlist or any other site saying they did this. So I was like, this is some like sketchy stuff. It could be fine, but I wasn't willing to.
So you used all the tools available to you, Google, databases, Carfax,
yes.
Epic VIN, social media, and you finally found a car. Give the quick walkthrough of how you found. So you had a VIN number of a white car.
Yes.
And how did you find that car?
So in narrowing down to the blue cars, I also narrowed down the white ones for white, full leather, and white gauges. I love the white gauges and the matching. They're silver, whatever. It looks white.
Aluminum.
Lumalook. And I was like, that would be sick. And this one popped up that seemed to have good miles. We looked at the Carfax together, and there was nothing crazy on it. And it was recently serviced last year by a shop near Philadelphia. And I was like, okay, it's lower miles than I wanted. It had about 34,000 miles.
So this is my trick, is I call the shop that last serviced it. And I'm like, hey, can you call the owner and see if they'll sell it? Tyler is a little less bold than I am.
I have anxiety and I couldn't just work up the gumption. I was chasing blue cars. I called a dealership in Texas about a blue car and they wouldn't pass along my info. It was very annoying. It had been serviced at a Porsche dealer. Like, no, we can't do that. So I kept him and Han and eventually looked at the Instagram post because the shop had posted it and they tagged the owner. And I was like, oh, problem solved. Direct line. And the owner happened to follow Doug and our mutual friend Pete of Pete's Custom Coach Building, and Pete followed him back. So I was like, hey, bud, can you reach out to this guy and see if he's willing to sell his car? And it took a month. In the time between Pete messaging this guy and him responding, I had gotten excited about the yellow car and then depressed, gotten excited about the gray car and then depressed. And this whole time I was like, maybe that guy will respond, but I gave up.
It's like finding a wife.
It's like, what am I? It's so much work. So much emotional.
So he finally responds. You get pictures. You go back and forth. You throw out a number.
And he accepted.
He takes it. So now
so
what?
Good. Now it's like, okay, this guy has been great. He's given me all the information of wanted, but like the car is 6 hours away. I need a PPI. I need to know that.
You need a PPI.
What I'm looking at, especially for this kind of dough, is not going to explode.
And you need a good PPI.
Yes.
And in defense to the seller, like, there's very few surprises on the PPI. Everything that we saw in terms of cosmetic stuff was like, yeah, we knew that was there. We knew that was there. There was nothing there. The only thing that came up on the PPI that was, it was a big deal. And this is why it's important not just to get a PPI, but to know who's doing it, is we looked at the leak down numbers and Tyler sent them over to me. I was like, run away. One cylinder was at 33% leakage.
And I hadn't seen that yet because I was like at work and I was like, oh my God. And I just like blasted out the PPI to the handful of people that I was talking to. And like, Doug's like, you might want to, that's high. That's like a problem.
Yep. Yeah. But the other ones were like 10 to 12%, which is, if they're all consistent, that's like, okay, it's not great, but it's sort of acceptable. Most people will say that's acceptable. So I said, you need to call the tech and find out what happened. So
And I'm so glad I did, because it turned out there is a calibration on the leak down tester that was letting out 10 PSI of pressure. And, you know, a busy day, things happen. There's no fault of anybody, but I'm glad that I checked and called back and had them double check their work. So they retested all of them after changing that calibration setting, and they're all under 5%. We're golden. Things awesome. Are good.
Awesome. So you called your Lord and Savior, Pentagon Financial Credit Union.
Yes, Pentagon Federal. I had already emailed them and talked to them on the phone a little bit. I was ready. We had agreed on a price, and I knew that as soon as the PPI was passed, I wanted Doug and I to go out and get this thing so I could drive it home. So Pentagon Federal came through. I'd expected nothing less, but I was still anxious about it, because if they didn't do it, I couldn't buy the car. So they are helping me achieve a dream. I'm so glad they exist, that I can get a loan on a 20-year-old car.
Well, and in all this too, and this is tooting my own horn a little bit, and our friend John Sabo, but like, you did all the internet research. And I see this all the time. People live on the internet. Tyler lives on the internet. He's an extremely smart person. He hosts an automotive podcast telling
where we edify
people.
And educate.
And yet he still needed his handheld through this process. 100%. He called me, what about this title thing? What about this? What about tags? What about, and you know, it's great, because I do this all the time, so I could just walk him through those things. So like, there's a lot to glean from this. Use all the tools you have available. Definitely get a PPI, have somebody review the PPI.
Yes.
And have somebody in your corner that knows the car business when you're walking through this too. Like,
well, and you had said it once that I could have figured it out myself, and I do believe that I could have, but having you guys in my corner was huge, because I've said already, the monumental purchase, like, very nerve wracking, but you know, I had some additional confidence in making all of this happen with your assistance, and also just in checking myself. As much as I'm on the internet, I've learned from the normal 996 forums that you don't want to. People get all bent out of shape about a lot of stuff. Now, the Metzgers are way more reliable, but I liked the perspective that you and John and some of the other guys I was talking to that they had, because it's more real. Like, you guys have seen so many of these cars. You know what's up. And that was so much help.
Be careful
so helpful.
What you read on the internet. That's the big takeaway. Well, I have a gift for you, a couple gifts.
Oh.
I have license plate frames.
Oh.
Carbon fiber,
nice.
Porsche one.
It matches my center console.
Metal Porsche one, or a one with GT3. Oh. It's just stickers, but it is GT3. So you
so
can
good.
Take your pick.
Thank you.
Put one of those on there. We also, GT Vault, who helped in the data, has an official GT Vault production
Ooh.
Certificate here, which you can buy for yourself. If you have a Metzger engine GT car, you can buy one on nutsforsticks.com. Let's see, GT Vault 2005 Porsche GT3, one of 113
right.
total white cars for North America.
Ooh, all right.
One of just 25 in the USA for 2005.
Yeah.
One of only 41 white GT3s in North America with black full leather.
Ooh, yeah.
Of those, 13 had custom tailoring and deviated stitching. Of those, 8 had the thicker steering wheel.
Nice.
Of those, only one was optioned with X71, your fancy aluminum instant dials.
Yes.
So this GT3 is a GT3 Woo! Vault certified one of one.
Let's go.
You can,
oh,
please don't
gosh.
Ever display that at a car show, or I will make fun of you.
Oh, this is going
no
in my windshield.
End.
This is going to go on my windshield at the Switch Cars Open House this weekend.
Speaking of boomer math, which boomer. That is, Tyler, but you know, it's infecting everybody at this point. Porsche guys love their one of one stuff. So many people sent me this display on a windshield, handwritten display on a yellow Corvette at a car show, citing it as boomer math. 2012, 7,300 coupes, fifth car produced, 159 yellow coupes, 467 magnetic ride, 345 glass roof, 49 with 4LT, 30 with yellow calipers, only one built in this specific option package.
Oh.
So, I mean, it's just like that. The irony, the incredible irony, this is not just Corvette people. They just started it. One of the people who sent me this, I
yes,
went
Doug.
To his Instagram profile.
Ooh.
It's loading.
We'll get there. Look, cyber attack, Doug. We'll
okay,
get there.
So a guy sent me that, making fun of the Corvette guy. I went to his profile. Literally, his Instagram profile is 2011 Aston Martin DBS, verified one of one production example by the Aston Martin Heritage Trust.
Oh my gosh. What?
Stones glass house, baby. Stones glass house. You're all guilty of it. Ugh. All of you.
Switch Cars is the enthusiast dealership where we buy, sell, and consign only cars that we like ourselves. Check out our handpicked inventory online at switchcars.com and mention Switchcast for special pricing. You can find more information online at switchcars.com or come visit our showroom in beautiful Twinsburg, Ohio, where you can experience the Switch Cars difference.
Talk a lot about driving on this podcast, and with driving comes accidents, crashes, and some really bad ones. They're all bad, but and I should correct myself. It's not accidents. It is traffic collisions. Because the reality of it is there's no accidents. There's always something to blame where somebody made an error.
Yes.
May have been lack of knowledge, may have been carelessness, whatever it is. There's all choices. They didn't put good tires on. But this week in particular, I'm highlighting something that has come up in article after article after article lately, and it is crazy the frequency at which it appears to be happening. And it is this: emergency vehicles keep getting hit by distracted drivers, occasionally people having medical events, but most often it's distracted drivers. Yet everybody on the interwebs keeps blaming speeding. And I'm sick of it, because us speeders are getting a bad name because of people who are looking at their phones instead of driving. And I'm just going to go through. I mean, and most of them are in Cleveland area or Ohio. So News 5 Cleveland highlighted one recently. It was a 16-year-old who crashed into Cleveland Fire's ladder truck on Interstate 480.
Ugh.
Giant fire truck blocking lanes for another accident, and this 16-year-old just drives straight into the side of it in the highway.
How do you do?
Well, these guys need to slow down.
How do you?
No. And
now, we have said before that people need to look up from their phones and pay attention to what's going on the road. We were just on the highway, as you heard in last episode, coming back from picking up a car, and like, it was like mostly fine, but I still saw people. Everybody's like a little bit flirting with the dividing line and then going back. We saw a couple of truckers kind of swerve.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just come on, people.
Yep.
Pay attention.
Yep. And like, once I remember almost having a bad situation where I came around a corner on I-90 in downtown Cleveland, and there was a fire truck there blocking the road for another accident, and there was cones. Now, in this scenario, it was right after a blind corner, so it was like you come around the corner full speed, and boom, it's just there, and two lanes are closed. That was bad planning on the fire truck's part. This particular one, I watched the video. It's like on a straight section of 480. Like, there's no excuse for that. Here's another one. This was the first one, Fox8.com. ODOT crew's equipment struck by a distracted driver on 271 North near Rockside Road. Again, a straight section, and it was a temporary work zone. They were performing a striping operation, but these work trucks have a crap ton of emergency lights on them. And the driver admitted, this was 2 a.m., so there's nobody out there. Yeah. The driver admitted when he got out to being on his phone. Yet the comments, oh, these people are racing on 271. They need to slow down. People got to slow down. Just comment after comment after comment. People need to slow down. No, nobody hit the friggin' striping truck because they were going 80 instead of 60. He was looking at his dang phone. In theory, I could safely pass a striping operation in my lane at 100 miles an hour, keeping in my lane. I'm not going to do it.
Well, it's just, you know, because you got to anticipate some other things and you want to be courteous to the folks. That's the exactly. other thing that bugs me. Now, it has not relevant for what you've said so far, but did everybody forget that if somebody is pulled over or if there's an incident or something on the shoulder on the highway that you're supposed to get over a lane for safety and give them space?
Like, God. Or slow down or something like just, yeah. Here's one that's not great. So in these other ones, nobody was really injured. This one is a bad one. The reality is accidents cause injuries and death. This one in Oakland County in Michigan, a road crew worker dies and two others hurt in a Farmington Hills crash. This is from the Metro Detroit News. And while three workers were servicing a catch basin and cleaning drainage on a sort of residential road, a vehicle heading south on Orchard Lake veered out of its lane, went over the median, and hit a road crew working on the northbound side from the southbound. Veered over a physical median. One of the comments was effectively, if they installed speed cameras in work zones, this wouldn't happen.
I don't. So here's my. I think it goes without saying that we don't agree with these comments, and we feel there is a, what I will take, maybe a lack of critical thinking skills. But I will say, I drive on a pretty hectic highway more frequently now than I used to. And sometimes it feels chaotic because people are driving quickly. Everybody is driving, you know, speeding a little bit, kind of doing the normal thing. Some people are speeding a lot. But it's not hectic because everybody's going fast. It is hectic because people are making last minute maneuvers. They're looking at their phones. They're not staying in their lane. Like, it is a disorganized cluster F of people not fully in control of their motor vehicles. If everybody was going 100 miles an hour, but they were passing appropriately, they were staying in the right lane. If they were going slower, I would feel way more comfortable. The speed.
Yep. Now, they shouldn't be going 100 in this residential area, but let me tell you what, speed is not why that person crossed the stinking median and went into opposing lanes.
Yes.
Now, that may have been a medical emergency. They didn't, you know, at time of publication of the article, they didn't disclose that. And there was a pretty horrific accident I watched up in Michigan, where a state trooper who is on the shoulder doing an inspection on a commercial truck got hit by somebody from behind. And in that case, the driver who hit the cop was having a seizure.
Oh.
There's lots of videos beforehand. They were bouncing off the median and had just like, I think they passed out and just hit the gas because the last few hundred yards before they hit the cop car, they went from like 50 to 90 miles an hour after they bounced off the median. So, again, we don't want to blame all of these things on distracted driving without knowing for sure, but it's really hard to come up with any other possibility for these when you hit things that are in plain sight. One recent one, this is locally in Ohio, and very recent, a state trooper was killed just a few days ago on State Road 11. And this was a same situation. The trooper was on the shoulder behind a commercial vehicle assisting the driver. And a driver, he was driving a dump truck or a granite truck, crashed into the back of the cruiser.
Oof.
Now, the incident is still under investigation. It's an awful situation. Our hearts go out to the family there. Our flags at half staff, as you know, all of Ohio is for this situation. But it's just like, how does that happen other than somebody's on their phone? Somebody's not paying attention. There's another one last month out of Arizona. Two firefighters had just completed an interfacility transfer. They were driving back and somebody crossed the center line and both of them were killed. Like, I've had it. How many more times does this have to happen, especially to emergency workers, before there's real penalties for people friggin' texting and driving? Like, it's just got to end. Like, there's so many stories over and over and over again, and the general consensus still is that speeding is a problem. Cops are still out there with their radar guns sitting on the side of the road just waiting for somebody to go 12 over instead of 9 over. And it's like, no. Like, I think there needs to be very, very serious consequences for people who are on their phones distracted driving before they cause injury and death. Because that's consequences you can't live with. No pun intended. That's not like the survivor guilt and everything that goes along with that. That is a crappy situation. So I just want to shed light on this, because it's a terrible situation. And like, I don't know. I know a lot of people who are friends of mine, and I used to be more lax about it until I just woke up and I'm like, I'm stupid to look at my phone while I'm driving to try to send a text, read a text, whatever. Like, why don't I just pull over?
Yep.
I have CarPlay in my car, and that's great because it's allows me to do stuff essentially distraction free. And even that, on my last road trip, I'm like, it's glitching out. I'm looking at it too much. I'm friggin' uninstalling it and just using Bluetooth. Because even that screen is like, it's too much.
Yeah.
I have to be looking at the road.
Well, and that's it. You know, I had to do it in the Corvette, and I've done it in the GT3 now. You know, just even the typical phone mount to the windshield, I had the phone up there. It was charging, playing. I had a queue of podcasts set up, and it was just there for navigation.
Yeah.
I had a zillion notifications to get through when we got home, but that's okay. I didn't need to see them
home.
I did.
You got to respond to them, and everybody else around you also did.
And none of it was anything important enough for me to text while driving.
I think I've thought many times about starting an organization called SAD, Scofflaws Against Distracted Driving. Those of us who like to drive above the speed limit and realize that it's not that big of a deal, but distracted driving is.
And why don't cops are already sitting there with their radar guns? Why don't they look for people just on their phones? Because let me tell you, they'll see a bunch.
I don't know. Well, on that note, let's go to the plate to sample game. Don't mean for this entire episode to be a downer. The reality of life is, in driving, there is danger and these things happen. And we want to talk about them, and we want to find out and have an open conversation about how to make driving safer, how to change things. We can't ignore the fact that that there's a problem. But with that said, let's go to Plate to Sample, which is where it's a fun game, lighthearted game, where we take vanity plates and try to guess the stereotype. So I will read one, Tyler has to guess the car, and vice versa. This game is brought to us both in concept and in financial support by Solon Spine. That is solonspine.com, Dr. Alan Hoover. And if you are having back pain or shoulder pain or out of alignment or whatever, or other issues that may be related to that, you're considering surgery but maybe think that that's a drastic move, go get a consultation with Dr. Alan Hoover, and he will straighten you out.
Hey.
All right, Tyler, fire away with your first one.
I'm so excited. Cam girl.
Oh, I've seen this one. No, I haven't. If you have,
I'd be surprised. I know you've taken a lot of road trips. But
is it? I want to say it's like a Z06 LS7
No. That's
cammed out.
Nah.
Or it's a pink Range Rover.
And that's more of a
maybe
a resume type thing.
Yeah.
No. It's a Toyota Camry with blacked out taillights. But it is a pink Texas plate with a little heart on it. So maybe there's a little
Okay, there's I've got on. One for you. Ohio Plate 512BB.
Okay, so the easiest thing is like, that's just a Ferrari 512BBI, but it's not, I'm guessing.
Well, no, it would be a BBI.
If so it's just a BB.
Carbureted Berlinetta Boxer.
Wow. So it's not a Ferrari. What else could be 512BB? Dan, you're chuckling over there in the peanut gallery. Do you know the car?
Ah.
I have no idea.
What's a Ford Mustang?
This, why? What is that?
I don't know.
What?
Your turn. Apparently, this guy also had 512 TR plate, and it was an 80s Pontiac Phoenix, per Dan.
Just a troll.
Okay. Knew that one wouldn't, you wouldn't get that one.
Next up for you, need oil.
Volkswagen Corrado.
You're close.
Really?
Close with the brand.
Not Volkswagen car. Jetta.
And a different brand.
Anything with a 1.8T.
Actually, I don't know what this has.
VR6.
It might have a 1.8T. It's an Audi. It's a late model Audi A4.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, all right. Yep. That could be a 1.8T. All right. Next one for you.
I'm ready.
It'll open.
I missed this.
You're ready. I'm not. BMW.
Okay. Is it a BMW?
No.
Is it a Mercedes?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Is it like an E-Class or something?
It looks like a C-Class to me. Okay. It's a newer one. I can't tell them apart. They all look pudgy and round.
I get it. I accept.
Okay.
Tesla-ish.
An electric BMW?
No. Right idea.
An electric Mercedes.
It is a Nissan Leaf.
Okay. So a non-Tesla EV. Okay.
I dig it.
Would have got there eventually. Ferrari.
Is this a Porsche?
No.
Is it a Lamborghini?
But you are catching on to the theme for tonight.
Is it a Lamborghini?
No.
What else do we, is it a McLaren?
No. It'd be really funny if this was actually a Ferrari. You just
is it a Ferrari?
No.
What is it? Oh, is it a Fiero?
No.
Or what is the Pontiac?
It's an Alfa 4C.
It's Italian, I guess, at least.
Yeah.
I accept.
Okay.
Walta.
Walta?
Yeah, W-A-L-T-U-H. Walta.
Oh, it's a Pontiac Aztec.
Yes, there it is.
Walta White. Okay, 302.
This is not a Mustang, I'm guessing.
Nope.
Is it a BMW?
Nope.
Is it a... It's not a Ferrari.
Nope.
Wow, what is it?
It's nothing with a 302. It's a Ford Interceptor hybrid. 302 just happens to be the badge number. Oh,
does that even count? It's not registered, Doug.
Don't care. Don't care.
All right, next up for you. I love this one. So John Z, I think, I used, this will be the second plate of yours tonight, specifically commented when they submitted this that, Tyler, you have to pick one of my plates eventually.
So you picked
I'm
two.
So sorry. I didn't even pick two on purpose. They're just good. Not a jerk.
BMW.
Yes, you're right.
Any BMW.
It is
probably
an
a 7 Series.
What is the E90
Coupe
two?
Or sedan?
It's the convertible. 93?
E93.
Okay.
Or, yeah. 3. Yeah.
I always forget. But
three,
yeah, it's
one,
an M3.
I think it's
in Texas.
Wagons
driving
one.
In the slow lane with two hands on the steering wheel.
Nice. I bet he uses his turn signals as well.
Not a jerk.
All right. Last one for you. Porsche.
A Volkswagen.
No.
A Mercedes.
Nope.
A Ferrari.
Nope.
A Lamborghini.
Nope.
A Range Rover.
Nope.
What is it?
Closer.
Closer. Is a Ford?
No. Nope. What? It's a Jeep Wrangler.
What? Doug tonight was like, Tyler's never gonna guess these. That's the theme. Pain and suffering.
I put all of these in a folder titled Misnomers. Thank you for joining us for Switchcast with Doug Tabbitt and Tyler Sanders, produced by Ethan Huffnagel. Switchcast is an automotive entertainment and opinion show and nothing we say should be taken very seriously. We do not give tax, investment, legal, emotional, or professional advice, and the only licenses we hold are driver's licenses. The opinions expressed on this show are exclusively held by the people pontificating at that moment and do not reflect the values of our producers or sponsors. Our theme music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. If you like this show, you can stream it in its entirety on your favorite audio podcast platform. Check out switchcast.live for more info.